It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. I hope that you had a great weekend. You're each treasured, valued, you have purpose. Step into this moment, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is a Monday, and we have much work to do as we look at this packet that we have in front of us, Steve, and all of the news out there.
Yeah, the package is bulging, and geez, after a weekend where I had a little too much weekend in the weekend, it's tough to pry your head open and get some of this, you know, take on all this information.
Well, it's very important. We've got a really great week planned for all of you, and I would recommend that you go to my website and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That way you'll get first look at all of our op-eds and our most recent op-eds, our most recent guests, and we're going to get ramped up again to do podcasts as well. And so be sure and check that out. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And all of our recent op-eds and our show recaps and podcasts are there as well. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all of you that contribute to keep our independent voice out there. We are an alternative to a lot of stuff out there. And we'll be talking about that really in the second segment. Patty Kergan has been doing a series of op-eds on this LEAP initiative. It's Initiative 25. It's the Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Program Plan. And as we are looking at this and really delving into the details, it's really not a good thing. And one of the number one reasons is because it sets up an unelected, unaccountable board that will be governing this and that will be making all the choices on the vendors that parents can choose from. And it's like, what can go wrong with that? So we're going to talk with Patty about that. But she has written her third in this series of op-eds, connecting more and more the dots. I'd recommend that you go to my website and you can check that out. And also, while you're there, make sure that you're on our email list, because this is very, very important. The show comes to you because I have a lot of great sponsors, and Hooters Restaurants is one of those sponsors. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And more information about all their specials there. But they've got lunch specials at Hooters Restaurants. And with inflation going on, I can't believe they're still holding the line on this. They have $8 items, which is Baja Fish Tacos, a lunch burger, or smoked wings. $9 items, shrimp tacos, chicken strips, chicken garden salad, or a buffalo chicken garden salad, or Philly cheesesteak. And then $10 items, fish and chips, a buffalo chicken sandwich, or a Western burger. So right now, with inflation out there and everything going up in price, Hooters is a great place to go for lunch. They've got some great specials there, so be sure and check that out. Third and fourth segment, I haven't told you what's going to happen there. Julie Kaywert is, I would say, a new friend of mine. And if any of you are interested in any of the women's groups that we have, our Tapas and Topics groups, email me, because it would be just great if we had these throughout the state. But it's women getting together to talk about what is going on, get our brains around these issues. And Julie is an author, and she recently did a book review on Cheryl Atkinson's book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. And I thought, I learned so much from that you will learn a lot from that. So Julie will be our guest in segments 3 and 4. And that takes us to our quote for the day. Thomas Jefferson had a real understanding of how important freedom of speech and freedom of the press is. And of course, he was our spokesman for democracy. He was an American founding father. He was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence and the third president of the United States. He was born in 1743. He died in 1826. And he said this: "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." I submit to you, Steve, that we do not have freedom of the press right now. The press is not searching for truth. And being that entity that is supposed to be bringing forth to the people what is actually happening out there. And that's why we're in a world of hurt. And they're creating so much confusion. And when we had Brent Littlefield on last week talking about ranked choice voting, the left likes confusion and chaos. And our founding documents, our Declaration, our Constitution, was put in place for reason and order. And we can just see that they are really trying to keep the American people confused and obfuscate what's going on out there. And the role of the press is to actually shed light on what is happening instead to obfuscate what's happening, Steve.
Well, they like confusion and chaos because that's usually the place where they can do accomplish their objectives most effectively. And you know, I looked at this quote this morning, and I'm again, thankfully you're here to kind of buffer some of my raw thinking, but you know, they're not looking for the truth, or certainly not seeking it, but it's their own, to me, just their self-inflicted decision to do it. I don't see them. Yeah, and I'm never behind the scenes. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes when the big network heads get together and they're in the presence of the administration and the influence that is exerted there. But we've been seeing this for 25 years now.
Well, and it appears that there must be a 6 a.m. call where they put forth a narrative. And then when you've seen the montages of talking heads across the spectrum parroting the same words. And we realize there's this coordination that's going on. More and more people are waking up. There's still a group that just want to keep their head in the sand. They don't want to have a conversation about this. But I think that group is getting smaller and smaller. And that's why what we do here is so important. We may not always get it right. And if we find out that we don't, we will certainly give you a correction on that. We will search for truth and clarity and do our best to bring that to you. And so I wanted to jump over here because Patty really wanted to have your take on this. And you said that at the event the other night with Greg Lopez, he's running for governor, that he mentioned this as well. He's a veteran. And really of great concern, and that's that the Norfolk Naval Base, it looks like that NATO is taking that over, or there's a coordination. And Patty pulled this from defensenews.com, and it says the NATO command in Norfolk reaches full stand-up. And I'm concerned about this because it looks like the Biden administration is just on all different fronts giving away our sovereignty. NATO shouldn't be in charge of our national defense. This is probably even unconstitutional. And Patty said, I want to get Steve's read on this because you're a veteran as well.
Well, I've gone through it very quickly, and what I see initially, let's go back real quick. History. NATO is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and it was evolved right after World War II to kind of maybe keep the Russians in check.
Yeah.
Not knowing what their view of the world was going to be post World War II, and it was just exactly what it says. It was the alliance, Atlantic Treaty Organization for European countries to kind of just have a unified view of what was to happen in that part of the world, that being the North Atlantic. So what I'm seeing now, and it's possibly too soon to draw a definitive conclusion, but they're reacting to increase Russian submarine activity in the Atlantic, in the region. And at this point, maybe they're just envisioning more of a strategic geographic pincer between the United States and Europe in the North Atlantic. I need more information to be able to draw a conclusion.
Well, and as I looked at this piece, a couple of things. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is General Mark Milley. And he's quoted in here. He said, "I would tell you that the survival of NATO, the success or failure in combat in a future war in Europe, would largely depend on the success or failure of this command." I'm not sure that I really agree with that. Certainly, when he talks about a future war in Europe, I think the NATO commands over there are very important. And what I found really interesting is they go in here, and his father was a Navy corpsman at Iwo Jima. And it's so interesting how you will see the conversation go back to greatness, if you will. What the Battle of Iwo Jima, what the Marines did there and the Navy corpsmen is absolutely astounding. A lot of people don't even know our history, but they pull out parts of this history to kind of stand on that. Then he goes on to say this. He says, "In my view, the world is entering a period of potential instability as some nations, not all, but some, are clearly terrorist groups, and perhaps some rogue actors are seeking to undermine and challenge the existing international order." Now, do you not remember how the rhetoric out there was that, oh my gosh, Trump will have his hand on the button and what's going to happen? Well, actually, what happened was we came into a time of more stability throughout the world, and that actually Trump was nominated several times for the Nobel Peace Prize. And so here we just fast forward. Now we're, 7 months into the Biden administration? And instead of what we saw Trump and that administration moving towards, we now see we see this administration playing into instability, chaos, which is what they tend to, what this administration tends to like, Steve.
Well, I heard just back to back on my way in this morning in the USA Radio News talking about the Iranian attack on a tanker via a drone. And certainly almost a day does not go by where you're not hearing of what China is ramping up in the South China Sea. So this period of instability seems to be almost our reality. It certainly, you can't sit back and say, well, nothing's happening in the world right now. It's real. It is happening. So to that end, I'm wondering if his thought about increased instability is, you know, probably not something that's real and something that needs to be taken note of.
Well, and again, it looks like, and I can't quite understand if we've given Norfolk totally over to NATO or if it's something that is parallel to that. But my friends, us giving up our sovereignty to our defense, that is a direct assault upon the vision of our country. And one of the important components that is enumerated, in the Constitution of what government is supposed to do. So we'll keep an eye on this. Once again, I'm very concerned about that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Patty Kergan about the really important piece that she has done regarding Colorado Initiative 25. And the actual title was Leap for Who. And she's connecting more and more of the dots on this. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there. We are an alternative to much of the din that you hear out there. We look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And one of the things that America is built on, my friends, is representative government. And we have seen our elected representatives abdicate what their duty is to many of these administrative bureaucratic agencies that we, the voters, then cannot touch. But they live off of voters' money, off of taxpayers' money. And this LEAP initiative, which it looks like they submitted their signatures from their petition this weekend, and it's very possibly going to be on the ballot. They've got a whole bunch of money to try to push this forward. And it's taken some time over the last few election cycles realizing that ballot question, that ballot title that you see on your ballot is not the whole story. There's actually a whole initiative that backs that up. And you need to check out the complete text of this. Patty Kurgan, our researcher, has really been delving into this and then connecting the dots. And this piece that just came out this weekend, you can find it now on my website, but you'll get first look at these things if you're on our email list. Sign up for that. It's Colorado Initiative 25, LEAP for Who. Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. You have been doing amazing work at really dissecting this about what really could happen with LEAP, that Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And just a note, I would recommend that people go to our website, kimmunson.com, and you have in this particular op-ed, if people have signed this, and after hearing what we're talking about, want to get their signatures off that petition, today is the last day to do that. And there's instructions in your op-ed on how to do that, Patty.
Yes, all I have to do is email to the Colorado Secretary of State's office, and I have the address there stating that they would like their name removed.
Okay, great. So you continue to unpack what is happening. So where should we start with regarding this op-ed?
Well, I just want to go back to what you were saying earlier in the show, that the truth is so important, and that's exactly what we're trying to find here, is the truth. How did this ballot initiative come about? Who's behind it? And that's the whole progress of this series that I've been doing. And this latest one really references the second op-ed that I put together, showing the progression of this initiative over 15, 20 years. It was really the vision of a gentleman by the name of Tony Lewis, who worked for the Donnell Cain Foundation. And out of that foundation came an organization called Reschool. And a couple of weeks ago, Miss Amy Anderson, she is the executive director for Reschool. She did an interview with Heidi Ganahl on Heidi's Colorful Colorado podcast series. And I just found it extremely interesting. In the last op-ed, I went to Reschool saying that this nonprofit organization is already doing what LEAP states it's going to do in the future. And in this interview, Ms. Anderson actually states that they are already working, Reschool is working within the public school system right now with their program. So they're already in it. And she admits that she is the organization, Reschool, is the education arm on Initiative 25 LEAP, which is the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And in it, in her interview, though, she's stating that that LEAP will be, quote, this is new money that is being raised to support learning accounts along the lines of what are we doing this summer with the learning dollars that would give kids access year-round to learning dollars that they could use to supplement school. And that's what, so she's stating, yes, this will be new money for them, taxpayers' money, to fund their program, which is a nonprofit organization. And Reschool has worked with many foundations and private organizations that have access to millions and billions of dollars. I just don't understand why they're asking taxpayers to pay for their program. And the fact of the matter is we can do this in the free market. They've shown this, that you can go to foundations and get the money. It doesn't have to always be paid by the taxpayers.
Well, and let's just, for those of those listeners that might be new to this, is this is quote-unquote a new marijuana tax, ostensibly for after-school programs for kids. And there's some good people that have their name on the endorsement page right now. And we are contacting them and really encouraging them. We're going to be contacting them and encouraging them to get their name off of this endorsement page. But I think where where this has kind of been sold to people is that this is a step toward vouchers. And even the teachers union went from a support of this to a neutral position, because I think they think that this is a step toward vouchers. And vouchers would be where families actually got money from the government that they could then use for to make choices on their children's education. But with LEAP, the money never touches the family. And it's important to understand that LEAP will be governed by an unelected, unaccountable board chosen by this governor, and then these people then choose their replacements. So even if we do the hard work and get a conservative Republican governor elected, they can't touch this. They're their own governing board. They live off taxpayer dollars. They can increase taxes. This actually even debruces or detabers this money. So anyone that's for Tabor, I cannot understand why they would be supporting this, because this is another taking Tabor out at the knees, Patty.
Right. And the fact of the matter is no one's truly addressing what is happening in our public schools. And that's why this idea came out, is they're saying that public school has not met the needs of our students and the students are falling drastically behind. And instead of addressing that problem, they're now setting up this parallel. It's going to be a parallel government-run public school system with what is now existing. And
which,
to me,
Patty,
that doesn't make sense.
That's why I think so. Somebody emailed me on one of the weekend shows. They were addressing this, and one of the Colorado state senators was talking about it, and he is supporting this. And I think and one of the points that they made was that the teachers union is not supporting this, so that would be a good reason to support this. And one of our listeners reached out and mentioned that. And so I explained that I think why the teachers unions has pulled back their support of this is, A, because it sets up a parallel system to the public school system that we have. At least with our public school system, we still have school boards where, again, we can do the hard work to try to get school board members elected that will actually represent the people instead of the teachers union. Now, it's difficult, but that's the way it is supposed to be. And so this is a parallel system to the public school system. And then the other thing which you were really great in deducing on this is it takes money from the state land board trust that has been dedicated to the public school system and redirects part of that money over to, again, this LEAP, which is unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats that are running this. So I wanted to make that clarification that I think that that's why there are those out there saying, oh, well, the teachers union thinks this is going towards vouchers as well. But it's not a step towards vouchers. And the other thing that you listened to that interview, and when we talk about Colorado being the petri dish for all of the kind of the naughty stuff that the left is trying to push forward. One of the quotes you have in here is this would be the first of its kind in the nation. And just let that sink in a little bit, Patty.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct. And I did listen to that interview, and there's two points that are not being emphasized. and some people are stating errors. And those are the two that I'm thinking about in particular are there's a lot of people think in the initiative states at the beginning that it's for all Colorado children. And you read a couple of pages, and it's actually for a select group. They have eligible children. It's not for all Colorado children. It's for only the eligible children that they have deemed needs this help, starting with low-income students or students who have certain disabilities. And the other thing is they say, well, the parents get to choose what kind of program they would like for their student. And the fallacy in that is, yes, they get to choose, but it's a pre-select list of vendors that this authority has set for parents. So you just, if you really want a particular person that to tutor your child, if they're not on that vendor list, you can't have your student tutored by that person. Or if you want to go to a particular, they're also talking about like summer camps. So let's say you want to send your child to a specific music summer camp. If it's not on that vendor list, you can't participate in that. So they're directing you as to where you can go for vendors, which raises a red flag for me. Are they looking for a specific outcome? And because, again, they get to choose and select the vendors.
Well, and what has been quoted is that this is along the line of the Charter Institute Board, which is a board that oversees some of the charter schools here in Colorado. And, of course, charter schools, the option for charter schools is school choice. That's a great thing. And so I was talking to someone, and they said that has been working very well, this Charter Institute Board. Governor Polis is choosing the members of that board. I did some additional checking out of that with some people that are very involved in the charter school arena, and they said that their opinion is that the Polis appointments are moving the Charter Institute Board more and more to the left. And in fact, it's getting to the point of, yes, you can choose as long as you choose something that we like. And I see that also happening here. I mean, really, what could go wrong? This board, and they say that the part, you know, some of the board members will be no more than five of the board members are from, a particular political group Democrat or Republican. But let's think about that. People change their affiliations, so there's no assurance that there's going to be a diversity of thought on these particular boards. And I think that needs to be addressed. Patty, what's your final thought that you want to leave with listeners on this? I really recommend that they go and read your series of op-eds. Rick Turnquest has a good one on this. And then I had done one on 10 reasons to decline to sign. We'll probably have to change that to 10 reasons to vote no, but because it looks like it's probably going to make the ballot this November.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my final thought is two things. The first one is read the ballot initiative. It's actually a pretty easy read, so you will understand it doesn't have all that legal language in it. And the second one is, if you did sign this initiative, please call the Colorado Secretary of State's office. All you have to do is send an email to ballot.access@sos.state.co.us. And again, this is up on your website with my op-ed, as well as some of the summaries that we have up from last week's shows.
Oh, and one other thing, Patty, the ballot title, which was what was on the petition, if you signed the petition or looked at that, the ballot title has some inconsistencies or maybe omissions, if you will, from what the language actually says. And that's a big red flag to me when those two things aren't just totally congruent.
Correct. And I'll probably be piecing that apart in another op-ed.
Okay. Well, Patty Kurgan, thank you so much for all that you do for Colorado. Greatly appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good show.
Okay, thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with author Julie Kaywert. She did an excellent book review on Cheryl Atkinson's book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. I learned a lot from her book review, and I thought you can too. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds and podcasts, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. Julie Kaywert's on the line, and she's an author. She writes mysteries for book lovers, and I'd love to read all these. Unsolicited, unbound, unprintable, untitled, unsigned, and uncatalogued. And these have topped the bestsellers list around the country. And these novels feature London publisher Alex Plumtree, a studious James Bond of the book world. And so be sure and check those out. I was recently at a meeting where Julie led a book review for a number of women on Cheryl Atkinson's really important book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. And I learned a lot from that, and I thought that you could too. So Julie is our guest. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good morning.
Well, it's great to have you here. And this book that Cheryl has written is a very important book. Why do you think that it's so important, Julie?
Well, Cheryl Atkinson, after 30 years at CNN, PBS, and CBS, as one of their anchors even, has such a powerful story to tell because she witnessed from the inside how news changed from being all about reporting the facts and letting us decide what we think to reporting the narrative. And she came to see over the years that starting in about 2013, she saw that her stories were being killed at the top level if they did not fit the narrative or if they damaged someone. And she has a lot of stories like that to tell. Would you like to hear a couple of them?
Most definitely.
Okay. First of all, I think the most dramatic story, the book is full of these, by the way, amazing stories, but she did a story about the Dreamliner, Boeing's, airliner that had the fatal crashes and was such a disaster. And a whistleblower at the Boeing plant contacted her and said, you know, Kim, we've had these huge explosions of, sorry, not Kim, Cheryl, we've had these huge explosions of batteries here in the factory making the prototype, and this is going to be a disaster. And she even got a video of one of the explosions that this, whistleblower had. But so she took the story all the way to the top. She did big national stories for CBS. You probably saw a lot of them. I certainly did, and over the years. And it was killed at the top. And she realized later it was, she kind of looked into what caused the New York producer to kill the story after, it was such a good story. And it was because Boeing had such powerful representation. They had powerful lobbyist contacts with CBS at the highest levels. And so years later, when all those people died in the crashes, Cheryl just was sick because she had reported the facts and the story had been killed because Boeing had been successful in canceling it. And there's one other one. In 2013, she first became aware of this when the president at the time had started a green energy bill. And hundreds of millions of dollars were dedicated to this. And a union official called her, called Cheryl, and said, do you realize that all of these hundreds of millions of dollars are going to Koreans who are using Korean-made parts to build these green energy devices? And Cheryl said, well, would you do an interview with me? And she got a rare interview with one of the union spokespeople. And so here we have the, you know, the left-leaning unions contacting the media and saying our Democratic president is working against us. We want to do that work. And here's what she said. She said, it was one of the first times I remember becoming keenly aware of news managers who believe it is their role to keep viewers from learning the facts if they do not lead them to the right, quote unquote, conclusion. Doesn't that just give you the goosebumps?
Well, it does. And how do you think this happened, Julie? You mentioned 2013 in both of these, but it didn't just happen in 2013. When do you think that this really started?
Well, of course, here's another fascinating thing I learned from the book. We know, I mean, I'm sure you remember from your textbooks in maybe even elementary school, but definitely middle school and high school, we read about yellow journalism, which is what they called it then. Well, in this book, we learned, my short answer to your question is, I think in a way this has always been going on, but maybe we all believed in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe we all believed for a while that the journalistic standards taught at the time in journalism schools were really true and that people were abiding by them. And I think to some extent they did. Even when I was in graduate school at the Kennedy, you know, graduate school at Harvard, they did, you know, they absolutely valued objectivity. And the highest responsibility of a reporter was to get the facts straight. But all this changed, and I think it always has changed over time. So, I mean, it has always been an issue over time, depending on who was in power. So her book talks about way back, you know, with Woodrow Wilson. He used the Sedition Act of 1918 against political opponents at newspapers and shut them down. FDR unleashed the IRS on the Philadelphia Inquirer and other papers if they were not supporting his New Deal. Barack Obama and his FBI secretly subpoenaed and surveilled New York Times, Fox reporters, the AP, and Cheryl Atkinson. So Cheryl Atkinson found herself, you know, when she was hacked, her computer was being hacked, she was being bugged. She filed a number of suits from, like the 8 years starting in 2008, because, you know, that's not allowed. And you probably remember hearing about that. And she points up a number of discrepancies between the years beginning with 2016 to 2020, where, you know, the president called the press the enemy of the people, but he never bugged anyone. He didn't shut down a newspaper. He didn't try to shut down stories the way these other presidents did. So it's a matter of the truth versus the narrative again.
Well, we've had Cheryl on the show several different times, Julie, and I remember her talking about when her computers had been bugged, and again, bugged by the Department of Justice. And she said that she was at her computer and she did not have her hand on her mouse and her cursor started moving all over her screen. And it was like a message that we are watching you. And I asked her, weren't you scared? And she, if I recall correctly, she said, no, I was just mad. And I said, well, was that under, I guess it was the DOJ and FBI. I said, was that under James Comey? Comey as FBI director. And she said it was actually before then. And I said, who was the director at that time? And I'd forgotten this. It was Robert Mueller, if you can believe that, Julie.
Oh, wow.
Connect that dot, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
We're going to go to break, Julie, here in just a moment. And when we come back, one of the things that you had brought forth when you were doing the book review was about this narrative. And there is a narrative that was decided to be pushed, and it is being pushed all the time right now. And it is dividing. It's trying to divide people. And it's this narrative of racism. And I thought it was just very telling when you brought it forward that that is a narrative that they said just continue to hit that. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Julie Kaywert. She is an author. She writes mysteries for book lovers. And her novels feature London publisher Alex Plumtree, a studious James Bond of the book world. So be sure and check that out. The last name is K-A-E-W-E-R-T. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Julie Kaywert.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts and op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support what we're doing. We are an independent voice, and we greatly appreciate that as well. One of my great sponsors is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And this Thursday, August 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m., they're having their everyday carry sharpening day. And they're offering one free tune-up for all of our knife enthusiasts. And they said whether or not it's your kitchen knife or a pocket knife, they have you covered. They'll have food and drinks and while you wait. And so you can stop by, meet other people, chat about different blades, they said. And I love this, hashtag stay sharp. So go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com for more information. But again, that's this Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m. If you have other knives that need to be sharpened as well, you can bring those. If they have time, they will do that on Thursday, but you may need to leave them and come back and pick them up. So again, that's castlegate.com. On the line with me is Julie Kaywert, and she is an author. She writes mysteries for book lovers, unsolicited, unbound, unprintable, untitled, unsigned, and uncatalogued. And they've topped bestseller lists around the country. And it features London publisher Alex Plumtree, a studious James Bond of the book world. I tell you what, Julie, I would love to step back and take a vacation and take all your books and read them. They sound so fascinating.
Thank you, Kim. Well, I have been excited recently because there's been some interest in a TV series. They have a lot of action in them, and I have always enjoyed books and movies that have a lot of like suspense and action, but not a lot of violence and not a lot of horrible language or anything. I've always thought anything I wrote, I wanted my children to be able to read and proudly. So. Yes, I hope that the TV series will come to pass, but thank you for wanting to read them.
That would be so cool. And I always said to my kids that I think books and art should celebrate the human spirit because there's so much there's so much out there that doesn't celebrate the human spirit. And so I'm very excited
exactly.
about that.
No, you're exactly right. We need uplifting characters and inspiration. We don't need to be pulled down anymore.
Well, and you know what? That brings up one other thing before we get back over to Cheryl Atkinson's book. And when we talk about this, again, her book, she's searching for truth and clarity, and that celebrates the human spirit. But I remember in the 70s and the 80s when we started to have R-rated movies. You're probably not that old, but R-rated movies, and that this was art and we needed to accept this because of art. And we now fast forward here into today and what's happened. Harvey Weinstein, who had been celebrated as this great, you know, great purveyor of art, was actually, we realize, he wasn't celebrating the human spirit. He was preying upon the human spirit. And I guess the good thing about it is ultimately the truth always comes out. But we were sold a bill of goods on that this was art, when in essence it was looking, I think, more at not celebrating the human spirit, but really pushing forward the side of the human spirit that it was more, I don't know what the word is, not based on uplifting and trying to talk to, maybe Julie, I need you to help me out here on this. There's words that are coming to mind that I'm not sure I can say. And so what's your thoughts on that?
I totally understand. More the kind of animal spirit, and that a fascination with depravity, negativity, violence, all of those things. And Kim, one last comment on this, I will never forget. I was arriving at a movie theater, this was maybe 10 years ago now, to go into a different movie, not the James Patterson violent serial killer, you know, top-selling movie, but a different one. And I saw a young boy in there. He couldn't have been more than 12. And his father was buying him a ticket for the serial killer thing and was going to leave and leave him there alone. And I didn't want to embarrass the father, but I kind of whispered in his ear, are you aware what these movies are about? I don't know that it's good for your son to see this movie and alone. And he said, oh, thank you for telling me. And I don't know what they ever did, but, you know, little kids, little young boys seeing these movies where terrible things are done to women, it wasn't a good idea. It's just not healthy.
It's not healthy. And you really were able to get all the words there. I was thinking of animalistic, depravity, all of those negative things. And we kind of, as a society, bought into that for the last, again, I want to say starting in the 70s, which it came out of the 60s, I think. And now we're realizing just what had happened on that. And so I think, again, we only have a certain amount of hours in the day, Julie. And we make decisions on how, what we do with those hours in the day. And it's important, I think, to continue to instead of thinking of the animalistic things, to think of the uplifting things and to strive for excellence and to search for truth. Because there's only a certain amount of hours in the day. And this I'll put, and I hate to say circle this around because of how that's been used these days. But
correct.
when we take a look at this LEAP initiative that's going on, our kids are falling behind. And it's because we are not using our teachers' resources and time in the school day to be teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, literature, critical thinking, science, history. But instead are teaching the CRT, the critical race theory or iterations thereof, that are dividing us, as well as the LGBTQ agenda, which is sexualizing our kids. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if that's what you're teaching during the day. No wonder we're falling behind over here on these things. And now you have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties want to come in with this LEAP initiative and put in a tax for kids' after-school programs. And they talk about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they're also talking about supporting emotional health, mental health, soccer balls, all kinds of things. And so, again, I think we need to get focused on what we need to do. Any comment on that before we move back over to Cheryl Atkinson's book, Julie?
Well, just that I know from personal experience, in the way Cheryl Atkinson knows about journalism, I know what young people are being taught, because for the last 15 years I've been working with young high schoolers as they apply to college. And it's astonishing what they have been taught is true in high school politically. They have received the narrative up and down, and they can't even hear facts that counter the narrative. It is very frightening So we all of us, who I believe, as you just said, in fact, I just wrote it into the new plum tree that I was working on the other day, the new book. I just wrote, the plum tree says, the truth will out. The truth will out. And I have to believe, I do believe, we must have hope, that if we stand for the truth and actual facts and the truth, that that will be supported in the grand scheme of things. Because, Kim, you do see the truth does always come out, but our young people are being crippled by being taught lies that are not facts. They're being taught the narrative and not the truth. And that's a crime. That's a shameful thing.
It really is. And I talked with a young woman. I would say she's probably in her mid-30s, mom, and she'd gone through the public school system, and her husband, I think, had gone through, it was homeschool, I think, for a portion of his schooling. And this was when we were doing our study, the Federalist Papers. She said, I never learned this in public school. She said, I feel so cheated. And so once again, I think the truth is coming out on this, Julie, and I guess that's one of the silver linings on this cloud of COVID is that parents are waking up and seeing what's been happening. And I find that really encouraging. One other thing, though, that moving over to Cheryl Atkinson's book that you brought out in the book review that you did is this narrative of racism. And that was something that was decided on. And they said, this is what we are going to push constantly. And they have been doing that.
Exactly. This was something that, oh, it's just astonishing to read all these stories of things that actually happened. So you might remember that the New York Times editorial meeting, a big planning meeting they have to plan the next 2 years of their editorial content, was leaked to Slate by someone at the meeting, someone who perhaps was equally disgusted because these journalists are conflicted. And I have a good quote from the book here to read to you before we're done about the people at the TV stations and the big newspapers are not all happy about this. They have fallen into line because they'll lose their jobs if they don't. But anyway, the New York Times at this meeting decided that they were going to make every story about racism. It didn't matter what the story was. It could be schools. It could be taxes. It could be law and order. Anything. It had to all go back to racism. And as you know, Mark Levin has been so excellent in raising our awareness of what Marxism in America is. And Marxism believes in destroying, Karl Marx said, everything that exists deserves to be destroyed. And that's what we are seeing play out here. The New York Times is trying, and they made this decision in their editorial meeting that every story would divide, would break down by making these claims of racism. And so it was all decided ahead of time what facts they would present and that what lens they would be presented through. And it was all to be racism. And that's not really a news organization. That is some other kind of organization. So here's what the editor of a major editorial figure at a major international publication said. He did not want to be identified. He said, they can bankrupt me, he tells me. Facebook, Twitter, Google, they can ruin you in a matter of hours. For somebody like us, they can destroy you. So what do? We pull our punches. To raise certain issues is to cut your own throat, he continues. The newsman in me says, tell the truth, and that sounds great. But if I do that and destroy my publication in the process, what kind of Pyrrhic victory is that? So the New York Times is really now finding itself forced to go along with whatever social media demands that it does. And in Atkinson's book, there's this fantastic exposure of the Orwellian positions they're put into, because if they publicize, for instance, at one point, President Trump was accused of, there was a rape allegation that was completely unsupported by facts, but they didn't put it on page one because there has always been a high bar in journalism with sexual accusations, at least until Brett Kavanaugh and Donald Trump. That was something you had to have proof of. You had to have people come forward, have facts. Well, they didn't have that. So then everybody was, they kind of put it still halfway going by journalistic ethics. They put it on page three or something. Then social media ate their lunch because they hadn't put it on page one. So then you had them apologizing in this bizarre Orwellian doublethink. They were apologizing for not putting it on page one. And then they did, they reversed a number of times now. They've reversed themselves and changed headlines, bumped things up to page one suddenly, just, you know, for people's demands. And then they had to apologize for the story because it wasn't true.
Wow.
So they're contorting themselves in all kinds of strange positions, and that's not journalism.
That is not journalism. Julie Kayworth, this has been very, very fascinating. Would recommend that people read Cheryl's book. Be sure and check out your books. I hope the TV series happens because I don't watch much TV, but I'll watch that. I promise you, Julie.
Thanks, Kim. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today.
Okay. Thank you so much. And our quote for today, and again, that was Julie Kayworth. Check out her books. That's K-A-E-W-E-R-T. And Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, "I am for freedom of the press and against all violations of the Constitution to silence by force and not by reason the complaints or criticisms, just or unjust, of our citizens against the conduct of their agents." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Wandering out into this great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry.